the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten up your day. And boy, on a gloomy, foggy Saturday, Mae, we sure need you. Good morning, Mae.
Step on it. This, that, or the other. It is. It's this, that, or the other. Well, here I am. My cold's better. I take my cold with me. If I didn't get a nice laryngitis through Christmas week, whoopee whoopee. Well, it didn't stop me. Anyway, thank you, Fred Lynn. And Happy New Year, Fred. Yeah. And Happy New Year, dear friends, to all of you everywhere. This is the first word I've spoken to you in the new year, 1963. God grant that we may all be here to welcome the new 1964, and that everything will be fine. Living one day at a time, carefully and sweetly and kindly as we know how. So many things are happening and will keep on happening. But the Apostle Paul said, "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal." A cute little verse for this beginning of the year to cheer up says, "The good Lord sends me troubles, and I got to work 'em out. But I look around and see that there's trouble all about. And when I see my troubles, I just look up and grin to think of all the troubles that I ain't in." That's one to carry along with you. Just stop and think of all the troubles that you ain't in. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometime learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck things out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with just one more blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faltering, fainting man. And he learns too late when the night came down how close he was to the victor's crown. You can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. Some way I seem to feel hopeful for this coming year about the war business. I predict we will have no war this year. Well, I don't think we'll have any war any year, and a nuclear war, a completely devastating war. I think everybody's got too much sense. Of course, I don't know what we're getting ready for, but I don't think we'll have it. I got to thinking the other day about back in May 1943 when the German general von Arnim surrendered in Africa. And he sent such a strangely significant message to Hitler. He said, "We have surrendered in Africa forever." He added the word forever. God knows, I hope we'll surrender war all over the earth forever before many years. But as the old saying is, forever is a long time. And that reminds me of a poem I can never forget. You know, little poems sometimes, they may be small and sometimes may be very profound, but they hit my heart like a gong and ring there eternally. And I'll bet you I could repeat them from now till tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. When I was columnist on the Springfield papers, I used to hear from all over the country, it seemed to me. And the men in prison in Ohio, in the Ohio prison, sent me their prison paper they published each week. They say the Ohio prison is a remarkable one. And some way a lot of very intelligent chaps, men who ought never to be there, were there, many of them for life. I remember one young man who used to have a poem in now and then, and they were poems of great talent. He was gifted. One time he wrote me a letter. He said, well, he didn't say much. He said, "I was a roaming sort of boy, and I went just one hill too far." That's all he told me. I've never forgotten it. One hill too far. He was in for life, he said. But I always remember one little poem of his in particular. And no doubt, dedicated to a girl he loved somewhere and had to be shut away from her. It said this: forever is a long time, the life of a moon or star. Forever knows no judges, nor prison chains or bars. And I shall love you always, forever and a day, till beauty turns to ashes and stone walls melt away. I learned 2 years later that he had kept on writing and that he had sold a story to the Saturday Evening Post for $1,500 behind the bars. You know, they pay mighty high at the Post for a fine story. I often wonder what became of this young man. What a shame, a talent like that, and such genius. And of course, he had this sweetheart somewhere, and the poem tells it. I shall love you always, forever and a day, till beauty turns to ashes and stone walls melt away. Speaking again of war, although it isn't a pleasant subject, isn't it a shame for a nation to go into war? Now, I don't know why I'd say that. We all know that. We've said it 1,000 times. A nation whose people love the soil and little homes and green valleys and peace and love and work and neighborliness and just the sky overhead and the joy of living. And now they lie, so many of our boys, with their mouths stuffed with mud and their bodies riddled with lead. You know, I've lived through 4 wars. I wonder if I'll ever have to live through another. The Spanish-American, World War I and II, and the Korean War. And the cost in money, think of that, to say nothing of the grief. They say that the cost of one bomber, I read this, would buy 50 of the finest farms in America for families, maybe a poor family, and stock them with every modern device known, build beautiful homes on each of them, and seed for planting, and stock them also with fine cattle of every sort. One bomber would build great bridges and highways and would send 1,000 young people to college with all expenses paid. In fact, if we had no war in America, where 71 cents of every dollar goes, they say we'd have so much money, the statistical experts tell us, that we wouldn't know what to do with it, or scarcely where to put it. And that's the truth. What a world we could have if we only had just 1/100th part as much of God and religion as we have of war. Well, now for a brighter theme. First I want to thank you for sending me trading stamps again this morning. It's wonderful. I got several. And I got some from a soldier who was coming through, and he said he heard me, and he said, I'm sending you the trading stamps I got on gasoline, quite a few in an envelope. And he said, I'm on my way now flying to Okinawa. He's in the Air Force. Just think of that, a soldier. I'll write him a letter. I wanted to ask you if many of you remembered how in the old days women made so many lovely quilts, and quilting meant so much of their lives. Girls made quilts for their hope chests. They don't do it so much now. Still, beautiful quilts are much loved even yet by the women. Oh, I love them. I wish I had some. I haven't any. There was an old saying, a woman would say, if I loved a man, I'd marry him if he didn't have it one shirt to his back. You heard that over and over. Well, I wouldn't, but then a lot of them would. If he didn't have it one shirt to his back, there's something the matter with him. But even that wasn't half as bad as a girl going to the altar and not owning quilts in the old days. Her mother usually saw to it that she did. Often they had quiltings, and the women would come from far and near, and the men came along, and often they had a house raising for the young couple. The men did. A big dinner was cooked, and everybody had a great time, the women quilting and the men putting up a house. They'd put up a little shack of a house and log house in a day, a nice one. There was the old Irish chain quilt, and the Star of Texas, do you remember? And the nine patch, and the wedding ring quilt, and Grandpa's toe. Did you ever see the quilt, Grandpa's toe? Some way it looked exactly like it came down, and there was Grandpa's toe. They have these old patterns yet, I have somewhere a list of nearly 100 of them. They had them in the National Folk Festival. I never learned to quilt when I was a girl. I pounded the piano most of the time. But I can say without boasting that I was some pounder. And I am yet, for that matter, much as I ever did. I still play everything from Bach to Boogie Woogie, and every sacred hymn in the book without even looking at the hymn. I never have to turn to a hymn or look at it. But I can quilt now, although I'm not an expert like some. I have a lovely old quilt poem that I'm going to read for the older folks. They like it. I think I have time. When I find it, someday I'll read a quilt poem by our own Ozark poet Perry Mason. I've lost the poem somewhere. There used to be a lot of old quilt superstitions. I'll have to tell them to you sometime. But here's the poem. I found last night upon my bed an extra cover neatly spread, a patchwork quilt my mother made from bits of cloth of every shade. 'Twas just a quilt like you often see, but it brought a heartache back to me. There was a tiny piece of plaid. 'Twas part of a dress my mother had when I was a child of 9 or 10. I remember how pretty I thought it then. Here was a bit of calico, part of her apron long ago. Patterns in flowers with a score, all from dresses my mother wore. Here was a piece of polka dot, saved from the dress I had when a tot. Now the colors have begun to fade. It is many a year since it was made. As I looked at the old quilt there on my bed and thought of how fast the time had fled, I seemed to see her smile at me just as plainly as could be. And then as I lay beneath the fold of the patchwork quilt, now faded and old, I seemed to feel upon my head the gentle hand that drew each thread. And I thought if she came back to me, would she find the woman she'd have me be? The high day, so all woven through my quilt are woven days of life, the high days and the blue days, the days of joy and strife. And when I leave God's footstool to cross the narrow sea, I'll wrap those memories round my soul and take them home with me. My time's nearly up. And I'll tell you sometime about the quilt superstitions, different ones. Goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, I can catch my pony and the creek don't rise and the devil ain't doing the fiddle.